Since 1963, Duane Gomer has been recognized as a leader in California real estate continuing education for licensees, renewals, and notary commissions. He provides courses for thousands of Californians to qualify for sales brokers' licenses, furnishes materials for students to pass the state exam on the first attempt. Duane Gomer Education has presented hundreds of live renewal courses, pre-license courses, federal exam prep courses all over California. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, the educational guru, Duane Gomer.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you again. Our first interview was Leap Year Day 2016.
2016. Good. Good celebration then.
You show
10
no
years. 10 years.
10 years. You show no signs of slowing down.
Oh, yeah, I'm slow. I'm taking it a lot easier.
Are you? Well, can I ask you how old you are?
Yes, I'm 95.
Oh.
95 is a 95 and one third.
Unbelievable. Yeah, that's funny. It's kind of like when you're 5 years old or 6 years old. It's like, I'm six and a third. And then we start doing
that. And then when I hit 6 months, I start saying I'm insurance age, because insurance age is 95 and 6 months, I become 96. But in the answer to your question, I'm not working as many hours anymore. And our market is very slowed, so I don't have to work many hours anymore.
I already learned something in the introduction. I didn't know about insurance age. That's funny.
Yes.
You introduced me to two guests that I had on. One back in 2016 was your buddy Bob Hunt, who sadly died very young. And I know you were close. He was a real real estate educational guy. And the other one was Wayne Bell, who was the former DRE commissioner. And I finally had him on recently. Okay, Duane Gomer, starting off with Prop 19, but you have a little history to Prop 19, starting with, Prop 13, and then Prop 60, and then Prop 90. Take it. What's going on there?
Okay, as almost everybody knows, Prop 13 was passed in 1978 by Howard Jarvis, was a big endorser of it, and that started the 1%, 2% rule that everybody knows. Then they came along with a new proposition called Prop 60. And Prop 60 was then allowed people to take their low tax assessment to any house in their county. So not only could they keep their low tax assessment in their own city, they could take it any place in the county. So then they passed Prop 90.
Wait a second, Duane. Am I correct? Did you have to be over 55?
55, yes.
Okay.
And then handicapped, or there are a few other exceptions. Then Prop 90 came along, and that said you could take it to another county if the county voted to allow you to do so. But as many know, like Santa Barbara County was one of the counties that did not want to accept people from other counties, and only about eight or nine accepted it.
I remember that. I think Ventura County was one that accepted it, but Santa Barbara didn't want to accept it. And so many didn't. Many were trying to, I guess, incentivize people to move to their county. They weren't as concerned about the revenue. But Santa Barbara County has such a high median price, they didn't want to accept it.
Yes, they didn't want to accept those low tax assessments. And as I said, most 50 there are 58 counties, and if only eight are accepting it, I mean, obviously 50 did not want to. So CAR, I believe, wanted to create a new system, and I'm hoping it would create sales. And so what they did is they got Prop 90 passed. Now, there are two aspects of Prop 90. First aspect is that now people can move their low tax assessment by law to any county in the state. So Santa Barbara has to accept the low tax people coming in. And so that now is no longer a question. That was probably a very good situation. And there are statistics showing that people are doing it. Now, the Prop 19 provision.
Well, wait a second. When you said Prop 90, you said there were two aspects of it?
Prop 19 has two aspects. Prop 19 has that aspect, which is the one that you can move it to any county. And the other aspect
Wait,
is
is that Prop 19 or Prop 90?
that's Prop 19.
Oh.
19 allow, forces them to take it. 90 said the states can allow it. 19 said you will allow it.
Okay, I got confused there for a second. I remember that now. Prop 90. Okay. And the second aspect of Prop 19?
Okay, so you got the no, this is Prop 19 now.
Okay.
Got them?
Yep, 19, one nine, one nine.
It goes 13, then 60 in your county, 90 in other counties if they approve it, 19 it'll you can do it. So that's the situation. And then the other part of 19 was, and I think this is kind of back counterbalance, in my opinion, and conspiracy opinions and everything. My opinion of it is that they wanted to give some money back to the tax assessors, so they changed one part of real estate regulations, and that is inheritance. In the past, if somebody inherited a property, they got the low tax assessment. And that was on commercial, and that was on houses, and that was on everything. So what they did then is they said, now to get the low tax assessment of your person giving you the building, for the person from whom you inherit the building, you have to get it, you have to live in the building as your residence within 1 year of death, or with death, and so therefore, and you own, can only get it in residential buildings, and there is a limit on it, and the limit on it is kind of tricky. It is you get your current tax assessment as it rests today, and as you said, that's the purchase price plus the 1%. Plus the 2% over the years, plus any major improvement. And that would be minus also any fire claims or any depreciation when you rented it, if you want to get technical. But the figure then that you can inherit can only be 1 million. When they wrote it, they said it can only be 1 million over the existing tax assessment. So if you're inheriting a great big piece of property, and the difference between assessment and inheritance is more than a million when it was written, is you can't, all you get is the million.
So when
Okay.
you inherit a $2 million property, you get to
Yeah.
keep the 1 million. The first million is the old base, might be based on a $200,000 sale, but then they're going to reassess the second million at today's rates.
Well, whatever comes above that, it'll
Now
be added.
this Prop 19, was this the one that
19.
came 19? Was this the one that came out in 2020?
Correct.
Now first of all, I want to delve into what you just said, because you said a mouthful and it's huge, and there's a lot of people not happy about it. But
Oh, yes, there's a
just to
lot of
circle
people.
back.
Let me give you this.
Well, wait. Before we go forward, I want to circle back to what you said about Prop 90, which approved any county, and that forced counties like Santa Barbara that didn't want to accept your low tax base.
Correct.
Force them to take
Correct.
it. Do you know of anybody who did any study? I asked the county tax assessor once, and maybe it was too soon. I'd like to know how it all fleshed out and whether or not anyone's keeping track of this, of who's transferring, and if, has a county like Santa Barbara actually experienced less revenue? Has anyone done anything about that?
And I don't know.
That would be.
I know they're complaining.
They're complaining. My guest, Dwayne Gomer, a California real estate continuing education guru since 1963, and he still, you haven't missed a beat. Dwayne Gomer, thanks for joining me. So, to circle back, Prop 19. So, a lot of people hated this, and there was a famous actor Lloyd Bridges, who left his home, I think, on the ocean in Venice or the other city right there, a famous city in the on the beach there in L.A., Malibu, and the kids inherited this multi-million dollar property, and then they rented it out, and they were paying this low tax base. And that, do you remember that story? That was kind of like a red flag, and people got
Well,
all
that
huffy about it.
so there are a lot of those stories. I don't know for that particular one, but there are a lot of people who inherited it thinking under the old rules. And right now, it's very definite. If you want to get that any low tax assessment percentage, you have to move into the house within 1 year. Now, they say that if there are four people who inherited it, only one has to move in. But the people that are really punished are the people who are inheriting homes and hope to rent them. Those are the people that are being hit real hard. And the other people that are being hit are the people whose the house has really, really increased in value.
Now, it's kind of interesting. I'm sure some people are listening and thinking, oh, I'm glad they closed that loophole. It wasn't fair. Prop 13 was designed to keep a couple, an older couple, in their home. Maybe their income is down, and they wanted to keep them in their home. And once they pass away, that should be the end of it. Why should a child be able to inherit that home and inherit their tax base? So a lot of people think one thing and a lot of people think the other. It was a radical change, and I think you mentioned CAR was kind of wanting to really push this county, forcing counties to accept everything, and then they
Yes.
kind of said, well, but you'll get increased revenue here. Boy, I don't know. What's your opinion? You think prop need you think this whole thing was a good idea or not?
I own a real estate education company. As you can understand, we do classes from Cota de Casa to Santa Ana to San Francisco. And I have had people at one day, I did a what I can recall so vividly. I did a seminar one day and I was discussing something. And as I finished and walked away, one person came up to me, a friend, and been many years, said, "Duane, you are the most liberal person I ever heard." And then I took two more steps, and the next person said, "Duane, you are so red, I can't believe it." So that's what I get all the time. And so I'm very careful to say anything that could be considered controversial. In this one, yes, many people wanted the change to have the ability, and it's a big advantage for senior citizens to move their tax assessment around. And the other people, of course, and this is Howard Jarvis' group and or John Koppel, they are very, very, very definite that it is bad, and it's a big, I think Koppel the other day was quoted as saying the biggest tax raise in history. So they all got such strong opinions. I think that it is fair that the people renting it, I think, should not get a big advantage. If some child wants to live in it, get an advantage. But I also think then that they should be allowed to increase it more than the $1 million. That's my opinion.
They should be allowed to,
Take over their home if they move into to Laguna Beach, they can take a tax assessment raise of more than $1 million.
so you're saying that if someone moves in, a child moves into the home primary residence, you think they should inherit the tax base as is and not have this graduated change or
Yeah, I think if they live in it, yes.
Okay. So
That's my
yeah.
feeling. And again, that probably a lot of people disagree with it.
Oh, well, you're going to
But
get a lot of emails and phone calls, Duane. No, I'm kidding. Duane Gomer, real estate educational guru. You're listening to
oh,
Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate,
yes.
RadioRealEstate.com. Another thing you mentioned about transferring.
It's not the first time I've been on the opposite side. In one class, I. With no humility, I used to do a lot of foreclosure work. I was a court-appointed receiver. so I can discuss foreclosures with most of them. And the one thing I disagreed with my students a lot was strategic default. And you've heard of strategic default, correct?
I remember that. Hate it.
Okay, now what is your opinion on strategic? Let's talk opinion. What's your opinion on strategic default?
Well, why don't you define it for the listeners and then I'll tell you.
Okay, the people had their property defaulted on, and then when the property prices started dropping, a lot of people thought, "Oh, well, my prices dropped so damn much. Why don't I just walk away from my house? I have enough money, I could keep paying, but it's $300,000 lower than when I bought it. So why should I keep paying these high rental prices to the lenders when the house isn't worth that much anymore and I can walk away from it? And it's purchased money because I bought it a new home, and so therefore they can only look and take the building back." So people walked away from it. And some people, "Oh my God, that's so terrible. That's so terrible."
And in addition, didn't some people stay in the property and stop paying?
Yes, that would be the other side. And that'd be a person that had less civility. But I was saying, talking to people that would walk away but had the money to pay. And you can't believe back then the students of mine who ripped me apart saying, "Oh my God, I don't want to do business with you. You'd walk out on a loan." And I said, "No, let's get one thing straight. I know when the lenders made the loan, knowing that it was purchase money. They knew that if I didn't pay it, they could only look to the property. And so therefore, the lenders made the loan, and the agreement between me and the lender was, I will pay the loan. If I don't pay the loan, you can take my property. That's the contract." So I said, "Okay, I'm not going to pay. Here, take the property." And everybody said, "Oh my God." I said, "Well, that's the contract. And my liability or my accountability is to my family. It's my family more than the lender or to the neighborhood." So I was always a person that would say, I could see a person walking away in what's called a strategic default.
Well,
Okay.
okay, so you asked me what I thought.
Yep.
I forgot the distinction. When I always heard about strategic default, it was people who could afford it decided they were going to stop paying and they stayed in the house. And that aspect of it, I hated. Now, the way you explained it, and the bank goes into a deal and they think, if something the market goes upside down, then the best we could do is take the house back. I guess you can't argue with but it's a contract and both sides went into it openly. I mean, philosophically, you could kind of, so I can kind of agree, and I kind of agree with you that that's the contract. But if someone's going to stay in the property and not pay rent and try to milk it, that aspect of it, I disagree with.
I guess I agree with you completely. And I think that the member of the money cash for keys, that's somebody who sat in there until they got money for their keys. That's not right. That wasn't right.
Yep, I remember that as well. I remember, and that was a term an attorney friend of mine, sadly passed away, John DiLoretto. He represented a lot of tenants, and in order to get tenants out, he did a lot of that cash for keys.
Oh yes, we always did. Even property managers have done it forever.
It's kind of a fancy name for blackmail. My guest, Dwayne,
No, it's bribery.
bribery. My
Bribery.
guest, Dwayne Gomer. Well, bribery on the part of the landlord and blackmail on the part of the tenant. My guest, Dwayne Gomer. Dwayne Gomer, continuing education, and so. And just to circle back, we went into some great stuff here on the propositions. And we would, in moving back to transferring your tax base, you mentioned some issues like handicap. And am I correct that you could only do it once? You could transfer your low tax base once to any county. And when you mentioned handicap, wasn't there something that if maybe you had a reason, maybe you bought a two-story home and then you became handicapped and you couldn't use a two-story home, so they might let you do it a second time to get out of that home?
You're getting me out into nuances again, and I'd have to, I'd have to look it up.
Okay, that sounds something.
There's so many, you're right. There's so many nuances, like once or twice or three times
Right,
or everything.
I think it was one might be with a
That's
job transfer, handicapped, and maybe even
something like that.
the armed forces if one was not able to
Armed
be there.
forces get armed forces get a lot of exceptions too, and
Yeah,
some.
as well they should. Okay, well that covers
Let me add. Let
prop.
me just add. Let me just add one thing. There's one statistic I keep looking at all the time, and I want to make sure I gave it to you. Right now, if anybody asks, there are 412,000 licensees, 118,000 brokers, approximately 180,000 realtors. Just compare that to 2007, and there were 549,000. So we're nowhere near what we were in 2007.
Five
Okay.
hundred and forty-nine thousand licensees or
In
realtors,
2007, when you were in business back then, too.
549,000 licensees or
Yep.
realtors.
Realtors never went above 180 or 200.
Okay, so today 412,000 licensees
Correct.
in 2026, and in 2007 549,000. That's a huge drop percentage-wise.
That's an interesting statistic to
And
me.
well, you
And
always.
the other statistic, well, we only got 9 seconds. The other statistic is a lot of people think everybody who's licensed is a realtor, and as you know, that's not so. Only about 180,000 of the 400,000
Now,
are.
why are you pronouncing realtor with
I
three
understand.
syllables? Realtor with
Realtor.
two
Realtor.
syllables. Two syllables. Dwayne Gomer, two syllables in Gomer. We're at the end of our time. Always good to talk to you. Always learn something. You're going strong. I hope to have you on when you're 100, Dwayne. Thanks so much for the interview.
Thank you. And I'll tell you one thing. I want to interview you one time.
You got it. You got it. We'll do it. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.